Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Welcome to the program. Adam Sterling with you once again on CFAX 1070. Lots to talk about on the show today. We're going to be getting to Friday Roundtable coming up in just a few moments. Mike Kozakowski from Citify.ca standing by. Also going to talk more later on in the program about the concerning additional mandatory quarantines that are being imposed on incoming travelers. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau making remarks with respect to that earlier this morning. Also talking about the suspension of some air carriers traveling to and from destinations, including but not limited to Mexico and Canada, until I think he said April, and we'll review the details of that coming up later on. This, of course, is the government battens down the hatches, if you'll pardon the use of that phrase, as the COVID-19 variants bear down on us, becoming more common in jurisdictions around the world. We're also going to talk, as always, because it's a Friday, with UVic Professor Emeritus of Law and Political Science at the University of Victoria, Professor Ron Cheffins, will be joining us, giving us his thoughts. We're going to talk with Professor Michael Brower, University of British Columbia School of Population and Public Health. What do we know and what don't we know about outdoor transmission of COVID-19? Transmissibility apparently is increasing in winter, and there is some science emerging about how local weather conditions can actually impact how dangerous COVID is. And when I say dangerous, I mean how potently it spreads. But first, it was kind of a curious day yesterday at Victoria City Council. Victoria Councillor Ben Isett actually finally got back to me this morning. Councillor Isett, thank you so much. We've been trying to get information from you with respect to the community care tent since last week. Our newsroom reached out to you for comment about the community care tent last week. Our hardworking producers, I think, tried three different email addresses yesterday for Red Cedar, trying to get information about what was going on down there. I have been personally addressing you via your social media accounts for a number of days. Didn't receive a response until today. And I do want to point out that I did receive a response this morning from Councillor Isett, and he has an open invitation to come on this show anytime. He can call in. My lines are open. I'll take his call, and you will get any information that he wants to give you. I might ask him questions that he might not want to hear and might not want to address when he makes that call, but you know, my door is open to him. My door is quite robust and resilient. Believe me, it's been through a lot. Victoria Councillor Ben Isett asked me to retract a couple of things that I said about this matter yesterday on social media. I said I'd be happy to review those. I wrote, and I still believe, that Councillor Isett misled his colleagues at the council table when he chose to use the words technical problems to collectively describe what had happened earlier in the council meeting that caused disruptions in communications, both video and audio, that included but were not limited to causing him to be marked absent for one or more votes. And you're going to hear that audio coming up in just a moment. I am happy to clarify that the reason I chose the word misled is because simply saying technical problems is overly broad and misleading, and I think it's likely to create an impression that would omit important details, including Councillor Isett attending to various other tasks with respect to his Red Cedar Cafe role during one or more portions of January 28th's Committee of the Whole meeting. So he tells me that the technical problems with the battery on his cell phone died. Well, I would respond by saying that's an incomplete statement. Why did you need a cell phone in the first place? It's because you were attending to tasks with respect to your Red Cedar Cafe Society role, when ordinarily the taxpayers of Greater Victoria would be expecting you to give an appropriate amount of attention to the entirety of a meeting of Victoria Council's Committee of the Whole. So that's my response to that. He also asked that I retract the characterization. Yesterday, I called the tent a taxpayer-funded tent as it was being delivered. He asked that I retract that, saying that instead this tent was paid for by a $5,227.04 donation by a private citizen. I can see why he interpreted the text the way that he did. So I'm happy to retract any ambiguous use of taxpayer-funded and clarify that the words taxpayer-funded were meant to denote that this tent would be part of the overall operations of what is commonly known as the community care tent, which really isn't singular. It's actually a group of different tents, of which the new tent would be a part, the operations of all of which collectively are expected to provide services while being supported in part by a $6,500 City of Victoria Emergency Social Services grant. So, yeah, I'm happy to retract that ambiguous use. It was never intended to suggest that this tent was entirely
taxpayer funded, or even that the specific material of the tent itself was taxpayer funded. It's that it is a component of a larger group of objects that are being provisioned by, in part, the taxpayers of Victoria. If anything else that I've said is inaccurate, I'm happy to get the other side of this. I want Councillor Isett to give his point of view on these issues, and I'm happy to elevate his positions and his views when he does so. And he also said, he asked me to clarify when I said after days of silence, it's because our newsroom reached out to you, Councillor, for comment on your role, the community care tent, and some other matters last week, and you just never got back to them. So I have been addressing you constantly via social media, trying to get your attention, because I assume that you wouldn't just ignore a request for that and thereby waive your opportunity to put your side forward. I assumed that maybe you just hadn't seen the other request. So I actually instructed our producers to reach out to Red Cedar Cafe yesterday. And I'm sure as a director, you'll be able to have access to those email addresses and find those requests from our producer seeking information. I think that's settling Councillor Isett's concerns this morning. I still have a number of concerns, Councillor Isett, how you intend to fulfill your obligations to act in the best interests of the Red Cedar Cafe Society, an organization that right now is being partially provisioned by tax dollars to provide services to those engaged in the process commonly known as 24/7 camping in Beacon Hill Park. What will happen to your organization and its operational capabilities if 24/7 camping ends, and by extension that funding ends? Is that going to be an easy decision for you to make? Can you vote against the best interests of your society by causing 24/7 camping to end and thereby causing those funds to not be renewed? These are questions that I have that I would love to hear a substantive answer from you, Councillor. I also have yet to hear an answer from you, Councillor, on how you expect to fulfill your duties as the council liaison officer, or excuse me, the council liaison representative for the neighborhood of Fernfield, or I should say the neighborhood of Fairfield Gonzales, with respect to where the tent is located, because I have been contacted by your constituents. And they are concerned. In fact, one of them even called it a twist of the knife, because their concerns they feel are not being satisfactorily addressed, that as your role representing their interests, how can you fulfill that duty and give them your undivided loyalty as their constituents, while at the same time having duties and expectations under British Columbia Societies Act with respect to the role that you have as a director of the Red Cedar Cafe Society, which is currently operating the community care tent, which we collectively call, even though it's many tents, three is my understanding, is what it will be eventually, in the Cook Street area. I haven't had any answers to those questions either. People need answers to these questions, Councillor, and we know that you can hear them because you got back to me this morning, so I appreciate that. And I am happy to correct any inaccuracies or ambiguities that you feel that I have made. But I would suggest to you respectfully, Councillor, that the people of this city need your attention right now more than I do, and that if you were addressing their concerns in a way that satisfied them more often, we wouldn't need to have any understandings. So thank you very much for your letters today. Please answer the additional questions that I've given to you, and I'll send them anywhere you want. You want me to send them by carrier pigeon? I will. You want texts? I'll give you texts. You want emails? I'll give you emails. We weren't getting a response on anything until today. So I'm glad that we found something that worked. And eventually it was social media is how we actually got a response out of you. Our newsroom, to my knowledge, never did receive a response through traditional channels last week with respect to seeking information on the community care tent. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll play audio from yesterday right after this.
It's Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
All right, we're back on the air here at CFAX 1070. Well, it was sort of a weird one yesterday at Victoria Council, although it's commonly a little off the wall in terms of different things taking place. Earlier this week, Councillor Sarah Potts suggested,
I think that bylaw staff should feel safe while carrying out the work, and if they are not feeling safe, they should not attend.
It also caught my attention when Councillor Isett used his position on council to seek information with respect to the City of Victoria potentially contracting out nonprofit service providers with respect to the 24/7 encampments. He is the director of Red Cedar Cafe Society, an organization that is currently the recipient of a Victoria Emergency Social Services grant to provide services to
persons sheltering in 24/7 encampments. I see an overlap there, but here's what he said.
Have we considered, for example, standing down at 940 Caledonia to essentially not draw on those bylaw and policing resources?
Through the mayor, no, we haven't considered that. The work that bylaw does relates to the bylaws of the city that have to be enforced. And this request before you is for the police complement to assist with that at times.
Because he followed up by saying,
I guess, has the city considered contracting a not-for-profit entity to manage that location to reduce the cost to the city?
No, we have not. The coalition is also there supporting bylaw.
There was also the concerning statements made in terms of Councillor Charlene Thornton Joe asking, will bylaw be severely hindered if this money was not approved earlier this week at council?
Just a question to staff. Is it my understanding that if this is not approved, it would severely hinder the work of our bylaw staff?
Or through the mayor, yes. Yes, it would.
Stephen Andrew wanted to approve it.
Yes, I'm going to be supporting this motion. I totally agree with Councillor Thornton Joe. We have a situation where bylaw is going into environments which are not safe, and they need police assistance. And I echo your comments, Mayor Hobbs, that this is not policing people out of the parks. This is ensuring that we have our compliance and that is safe for our staff.
Charlene Thornton Joe asking again for confirmation.
Are you confirming that the bylaw department needs this support?
Through the mayor, yes. The bylaw department does need this support. They need guaranteed response from police when they need them.
Loveday.
But I'm having much more trouble with this one. I'd prefer to consider this after receiving the report back from the Victoria Esquimalt Police Board on any cost savings that have been found due to bars being closed, cancelled special events, and the drop in protest activity.
So it wasn't approved, at least not yet. That matter left unresolved one way or the other. Yesterday, though, was bizarre. We had somebody tip us off during the council meeting saying that they had been monitoring council earlier in the day and that they actually saw Councillor Ben Isett, not in chambers, not in a stationary location, not in his home office, but literally standing at the side of the road on Cook Street near the location of what is known as the community care tent, which is really a cluster of a number of tents. And they wanted to bring that to our attention. And sure enough, the councillor had informed his colleagues at approximately 9:55 that morning that he was not able to turn on his camera.
Councillor Isett, Councillor Thornton Joe, then Councillor Potts. Then
listen to what he says.
And Councillor Young. Councillor Isett?
Technically, I'm not able to turn on my camera.
See, he says technically, and then he stops, and then he says, I'm not able to turn on my camera right now. So he doesn't say it's because of technical problems, but he says technically, and then he stops.
Technically, I'm not able to turn on my camera right now, but I'll just make comments. I think a referral would...
Now, the mayor jumps in, seemingly knowing that Councillor Isett is not in a location with a device that would use a camera, an expectation that has been made of him by his colleagues.
Be more appropriate at this stage. I think the there's a number of unresolved issues, and I think addressing those issues would result in a better... application and a better project, and I'm not in a position to move this forward to an opportunity for public comment until those issues have been resolved, particularly around the lack of step backs and terracing on some of the upper floors, also some issues around tree removal and setbacks.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Isett. Although it's not in the procedures bylaw, the council has decided that it would be best if we could see people as they're participating in the meeting. So if you could get to a place where you could be able to participate so we can see you as well as hear you, that would be helpful and a courtesy.
There we go. So council has an expectation that councillors participate in a way such that they can be on camera. The mayor having an understanding at that time that the councillor was not in a location where he could fully participate as was expected of him. We then had this happen. This was around 11:28. After some communications disruptions, Jeremy Loveday chairing the meeting.
Thank you. Next is Councillor Isett.
Thank you.
You can clearly hear the counselor is outside. Sounds like he's walking somewhere right here.
Yeah, I don't support this motion. I think I would need to...
There's wind noise on the microphone.
...see a clear definition of how we distinguish political speech from other forms of cultural expression. I think this does begin to veer into charter-protected rules around freedom of expression. And I think a cleaner approach is that...
Is the councillor attending to his duties in the way that is expected of him by the taxpayers of Victoria? Or could he have taken steps that day to ensure that he was inside, in an office environment, to which he could, or with which he could, attend to his duties more properly?
For any grants involving public art or messaging, that the design has to be provided to staff for approval, and if the design is not implemented...
Again, you can hear the wind noise on the microphone. It's clear. He's outside somewhere.
...to the approved specifications, the applicant has to remedy it, or the city can act unilaterally to remedy.
We flash forward to 12:14 p.m., and Councillor Isett does reference a technical problem.
Just before you go into this, a point of personal privilege.
Yes, Councillor Isett.
And I'm just trying to get the camera on here.
But you can clearly hear that he's in a different location here. This is the sort of location, by the sounds of it, that the councillor should have been using the whole time to fully attend to his duties at the council table and not be distracted by any outside noise or any other tasks to which he may be attending.
There were two earlier items where I had a technical problem and I'd commented in relation.
He says the technical problem was the battery on his cell phone died, is what he told me this morning. I asked him yesterday, but he didn't respond on social media. I guess I would ask, well, why were you relying on a cell phone instead of something plugged into the wall? And I suppose the answer would be because he had other tasks to which he needed to attend regarding his other role that happened to coincide with his obligations to attend to Victoria Council matters.
...to them, but... Sorry, I'm just putting the camera. I wanted to be recorded as opposed because I wasn't actually able to.
So he's trying to ensure that he was recorded in a certain way with respect to his vote.
Communicate that at the time that the vote was called. So that's for the 1475 Fort Street.
Actually, Councillor Isett, since you weren't able to communicate, you were on hold or not in the meeting, you're just registered as not in the meeting. So you're not registered as...
Oh, okay.
You're just not here.
See, he was seeking to have input in a certain way as if he had been in the meeting, when in fact he wasn't. He said it was because of a technical problem. I said that was misleading. Yes, was there a technical problem involved? It would appear there was. A cell phone battery ran out. But why was a cell phone battery being relied upon? Well, it was because he was attending to other tasks during the council meeting. He could have been in his home office, or he could have informed his colleagues that he was absent because he needed to attend to other tasks, instead of simply saying he had a technical problem, which I wrote yesterday was misleading, because I found it misleading.
Okay, so staff, so I wasn't recorded as voting in favor?
No, you were recorded as absent.
Okay, and how about for the one regarding the...
See, he doesn't even know.
The Churchill Bar expansion.
You were absent.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you for clarifying. Welcome. Good.
Again, I wrote yesterday, and I still believe that simply saying that he had technical problems was misleading because it omitted key details about why he was relying on a cell phone battery in the first place. But to his credit, after receiving concerns from Councillor Stephen Andrew near the end of Committee of the Whole, and that was, it was only about 4 minutes after that clip that you just heard was recorded, he then talks more about his role with Red Cedar without actually naming it, which I do find interesting, and he says where he was earlier in the day. And we already knew that because we had photographic evidence of him being on site. But again, I feel that the councillor was misleading when he said that it was technical difficulties because he omitted a key fact. He was relying on his cell phone because he wasn't in his home office, and he wasn't in his home office because he had other tasks to which he needed to attend and felt that he needed to attend when he was actually expected by you, the good people of Victoria, to have his mind and his attention focused on attending to your business as part of his duties as a member of Victoria Council attending a Committee of the Whole meeting. And he didn't even realize at the time, during the technical difficulties, that he had been marked absent. And as evidence of that, I rely on the clip that you just heard, where he is informed by the mayor afterwards that he was recorded as absent and not in the meeting. I'm happy to clarify any remarks I make that he may have any concerns with, because I still believe that the substance of what I said is true and correct. And I will make any corrections necessary, or I will clarify any ambiguities necessary. I would also love the information that I'm still seeking. And if you want it via text message or email or anything you prefer, counselor, I will be happy to do that. He's also told me that he has to get ready for soup kitchen duties today as well in the, Red Cedar Cafe, one would assume. All right, quick break. We'll have Stephen Andrew jumping in, as well as Counselor Isett's response to Stephen Andrew after this.
Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Yesterday, Victoria Councillor Ben Isett saying he's not able to turn his camera on around 9:55 a.m. The mayor reminding him that there is an expectation to do so.
Councillor Isett, Councillor Thornton-Joe, then Councillor Potts, then Councillor Young. Councillor Isett?
Technically, I'm not able to turn on my camera right now, but I'll just make comments. I think a referral would be more.
And then he talks about the property proposal being made with respect to a certain project.
Thank you, Councillor Isett. Although it's not in the procedures bylaw, the council has decided that it would be best if we could see people as they're participating in the meeting. So if you could get to a place where you could be able to participate so we can see you as well as hear you.
There. Mayor having an understanding that councillor is outdoors somewhere, or perhaps just anywhere without a camera. Of course, why would he do that, knowing that council has decided that he should be seen and heard when participating at the meetings? Well, the answer is because he had other tasks to attend to with respect to his role as Red Cedar Cafe Society Director, and yesterday, by his own admission, volunteer, that conflicted with him being at council. And later on, you'll actually hear a little bit of that.
Thank you. Next is Councillor Isett.
And you can clearly hear him outdoors here.
Thank you. I don't support this motion. I think I would need to see a clear definition of how we distinguish political speech from other forms.
You can hear the wind noise on the microphone there. And he does talk about how he had a technical problem, and he's trying to inquire as to how his votes would have been recorded in his absence in this clip.
Just before you go into this, a point of personal privilege.
Yes, Councillor Isett.
And I'm just trying to get the camera on here. There were two earlier items where I had a technical problem and I'd commented.
The full truth would have been while he was attending to duties related to his Red Cedar Cafe role or in transit to and from those duties, while he was in a remote location relying on a cell phone, the cell phone battery died. That's what he means by technical issue. I wrote yesterday that him just saying technical issues was misleading because it lacked those other material facts that I think are very important.
There were items where I had a technical problem and I'd commented in relation to them, I'm just putting the camera. I wanted to be recorded as opposed because I wasn't actually able to.
And now he's seeking to be recorded, even though he was not present for those votes due to the technical problem that he failed to elaborate beyond that at that time.
To communicate that at the time that the vote was called. So that's for the 1475 Fort Street.
Actually, Councillor Isett, since you weren't able to communicate, you were on hold or not in the meeting, you're just registered as not in the meeting. So you're not registered as...
Oh, okay.
You're just not here.
Okay, so staff, so I wasn't recorded as voting in favor?
No, you were recorded as absent.
Okay, and how about for the one regarding the Churchill Bar expansion?
You were absent.
See, those are two votes that the City of Victoria taxpayers and electors would have expected him to give his appropriate time and attention and vote upon. He couldn't. Yes, it was a technical problem, but I wrote that was misleading because it fails to elaborate that the technical problem was relying on a cell phone because he needed to be in a remote location for a portion of yesterday's council meeting to attend to other duties other than his as councillor to oversee the installation of the community care tent. Mike Kozakowski, we're going to get to you in just a sec. Stand by. I want to play this clip. This is Stephen Andrew raising a matter at the table and Councillor Isett responding.
May I help? Can I have a point of order, please?
Point of order, yes.
Yep, thank you. I believe it's important, obviously, for us to be sitting at the table and focused on the events of the day and the agenda that is brought before us. And I think that it is...
I believe it's important, too.
...incumbent on us to be prepared with the documents in front of us to sit at this table and deliberate. I find it quite offensive, really, to our citizens and the voters that have put us here that they are now calling into radio talk shows.
And that's true. We did have a caller tell us that Ben Isaacs was not at council or in any stationary location, but was in fact walking around holding what appeared to be an iPhone at the side of Cook Street at the community care tent yesterday.
And sharing photographs of councillors that are meant to be at this table in this meeting and yet are wandering around, excuse me, in the Cook Street neighborhood. And I just think that I wonder if there's any rules that are in order if people are joining remotely.
And I think that's an entirely fair question.
That they actually be focused on this meeting and not doing other work, because I cannot understand how you can be wandering around in the city and also be attuned in tune to this this council meeting, which I think is the height of our democracy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think that was more a point of personal privilege than a point of order, because there's nothing on the table at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I see two other hands now. I guess Councillor Isaacs and then Councillor Dubeau, but I am, unless somebody wants to make a motion, or I'm not sure how to handle this. Councillor Isaacs?
Yeah, I'm trying to change my camera thing. I'm not, I'm in my home office, but I'm assuming I haven't been on social media today.
And he was in his home office at that time, but he had a fake background on. It was this beautiful sort of Victoria cityscape and mountainscape. I actually think the bookshelves in his home office that he has for a background ordinarily are actually better than the sort of fake background, because that way you can clearly see where he is. But he chose to have a fake background for that part of the meeting for whichever purpose yesterday.
I'm trying to confirm that I'm in my home office, but my camera isn't cool.
Now, there was no allegation that he was not presently in his home office. It was walking around Cook Street calling into talk shows that had happened earlier in the day, obviously.
Cooperating. But I do want to clarify, because the issue's been raised, and I appreciate Councillor Andrew raising it, and I think Councillor Andrew's been modest with his comments, so I think he's using respectful language.
He is!
Find some commentary in social media and from some sections of the corporate media has resorted into mudslinging. And
if he's talking about me, I respectfully disagree with that assessment. And if he feels that I'm being unfair to him, he has all my contact information, and he knows that I will promptly and immediately address any concerns that he may have.
Personal attacks. So I'm just going to... yeah, I just want to set the record straight. So I've been volunteering as an essential services worker since April the 8th. A person I know had an empty kitchen who provided a facility and some equipment, and I provided some human resources. I made a commitment that I would be involved in that project for April and May. It's now stretched into a 10-month-long project because there's a huge amount of poverty in our community. I've mainly been deferring to board members and staff.
There are two other directors listed under filings for Red Cedar Cafe Society at this time.
And volunteers, but there has been issues around establishing systems with the community care tent on Cook Street.
This is the care tent provisioned, at least in part, by the $6,500, the community care grant. Remember the showers grants where almost half the table had to recuse themselves? Same pot of money.
There was requirements from the city on the operator of that.
But isn't he an agent of the city? Or is he an agent of Red Cedar Cafe in this? I don't understand.
Humanitarian facility. And so particularly the requirement for a flame retardant tent. So I had volunteered to assist one of our staff in coordinating.
Note he uses the possessive "our staff" with Red Cedar Cafe. He has an allegiance here, and he is communicating it either consciously or unconsciously. When he says "our staff,"
meeting with a local,
or does he mean City of Victoria staff? You see, it's confusing here because he has both roles. I'm having problems following it.
A tent rental agency, and the timing of the installation conflicted with the site manager previously arranged commitment, and so I said that I could be on site to meet the rental agency.
Why did he believe that he could be on site? Perhaps because he believed that he didn't need to use his camera, even though counsel had decided that should take place, or because he thought he could rely on the cell phone battery, even though the battery itself died. Anyway, interesting questions. I guess I have to type up a whole email for this stuff now. I will, don't worry.
To ensure that the flame retardant tent was properly erected to comply with city requirements. And so that's the reason that I was on Cook Street.
But he is the city. See, speaking of the city here, as if it's a sort of third party entity, when he is a member of Victoria City Council. It sounds like he considers himself, just in his choice of words here, at least unconsciously, as being a representative or an agent responsible for overseeing the best interests of Red Cedar Cafe Society and its operations, instead of what he's doing right now and what he should have been doing during this meeting, being a member of Victoria City Council first.
Earlier today. In terms of my participation remotely rather than at City Hall today, I have a child within the school system. None of us have symptoms of COVID. But because I volunteer in my volunteer capacity as an essential services worker.
He also volunteers as a director. So there's two separate roles that he has discussed with relation to this matter.
With the soup kitchen and food bank, I do come into contact with a number of individuals. I volunteer assisting with the procurement of supplies, a lot of purchasing. And so I just thought for the well-being of colleagues at City Hall in order to reduce risks until Dr. Bonnie Henry provides her next stage of guidance for the COVID protocols, I have chosen to participate remotely, but I fully intend to resume in-person participation as soon if that's consistent with what I hear from the provincial health officer in early February.
So there we go. Councillor Isett's response. I still think that he misled his colleagues by simply suggesting that it was technical problems and suggesting, or at least trying to have votes recorded when he was in fact absent during that period of time. And I think that if he had taken reasonable steps to ensure that he was in his home office or a similar location with reliable technology for the entirety of the council meeting, those communications problems would not have occurred. So yeah, technical problems, that's technically true, but I think it's misleading because it omits key details about why he was relying only on his cell phone. And by his own admission, it's because he had volunteered to oversee those operations at the care tent site, knowing that they took place at the same time Victoria Council did. Quick break. Mike Kozakowski's up next.
You're listening to Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
And he said he hadn't been on social media today, suggesting that he was aware of the previous inquiries that we had made to him via social media in previous days, as well as the inquiries that our newsroom made last week. And our producers reached out to a number of different methods yesterday, including through the Red Cedar Cafe email addresses, of which he is a director. And you just heard him say he's responsible for purchasing other operations. And we would hope having an awareness of any emails that came in requesting information. And of course, you know, I also have this 10,000 watt megaphone that everybody in the city can hear. So it's not like he was unaware that this information was at least being sought generally or other inquiries that we've made. Because collectively, we've been seeking information on his role for Red Cedar Community Care Tent for well over a week now. Mike Kozakowski for Friday Roundtable. Hey, Mike, sorry for making you wait and sit so long. I just wanted to clarify some things.
Well, Adam, this was unprecedented. A year I thought that we couldn't get more volatile, and I'm using technical speak here for stock trading, considering what's going on here. But the volatility on Victoria Council is something else. But this takes us back to the issue of the increase to council reimbursement, where council felt, or some councillors felt, they were working too much. And here we have Councillor Isett today posting about an hour ago that he spends up to 60 hours per week volunteering with Red Cedar Society.
Wow, that's a huge amount of work. So he invests 60 hours a week in this. That's a huge investment.
That leaves virtually, in addition to council duties, that leaves very little time for personal time or any other time. So on the one hand, this councillor has found upwards of 60 hours of volunteer time while not that long ago claiming that council was overworked due to council duties. So what's the truth here? Are they overworked? Are they choosing to put more time into alternative efforts and pursuits? It looks like they are.
That's actually a very good point, and he actually told our own Al Farabee it was well over a year ago that the workload of Victoria City Councillors was itself not sustainable. So if he's been investing 60 hours a week in Red Cedar Cafe, in addition to his duties as a Victoria City Councillor, in addition to his duties as a CRD director, in addition to any other considerations there, in addition, I think he's, is he still on the City Family Committee? I'd have to double check that. But also in his addition, at least at last I heard he still had teaching responsibility at the university, at least he did as of a year ago. I'm not sure of the status of those, but it would seem that the poor guy barely has time to sleep, Mike.
Right, it looks that way. So now we have a basis for looking at the remuneration for council and say, well, hold on, if one of your councillors can devote 60 hours a week to just one additional pursuit.
Yeah, maybe they need more to do across the street.
For more money.
Yeah.
So I hope this hasn't caused issues for future council remuneration, because I do feel that the money they earn at $45,000 per year is not necessarily in line with some of the councillors' efforts that they legitimately put into being a councillor. But then again, it's also supposed to be a part-time position. We've just proven that it is. So how we go from here in terms of remuneration, I don't know. But now we have a basis. So if you have 60 additional hours to put towards something else, according to this councillor, I would assume most other councillors do as well. It is a nice breath of fresh air, though, Adam, to have Councillor Stephen Andrew raise the issue and not be afraid to do so. At the end of that video that we had from yesterday,
yeah,
Councillor making his points, I felt, were essentially, I'm sure, the sentiment of thousands of Victorians who were asking themselves the same thing, because we all can see what's going on social media, and we're certainly, many of us are listening to your show. And I'm glad that this was in real time, live, brought to the mayor's attention, as it should have been.
Yeah, and I'm curious as to how many of those hours, if it's 60 a week, overlap with the hours that the councillor is expected to have his attention focused on the matter set before him as a representative of the City of Victoria sitting at that council table, or a representative of the electors of the City of Victoria sitting at that council table. Because the math gets pretty tight once you suppose that somebody's working 60 hours a week in addition to council, which is a full-time job, in addition to CRD duties and others.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And now we've got a situation where we're not really sure which master the councillor serves. Is it a constituents or is it a group?
Because he used the possessive word our staff when he talked about Red Cedar Cafe Society staff. And yet when he spoke those words, he was sitting at Victoria Council table representing electors to the City of Victoria. Our staff, you would think, would be city staff, but he does make that distinction.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So it's really interesting times, Adam. I don't know where this is going to go. Obviously, when you're in a situation where you're not sitting down and paying full attention, you're apt to sometimes misspeak or perhaps let on to things that you may not have if you were collected and sitting in a home office, for example. So we did hear about this technical issue. I don't think it belittles the process. It certainly dumbs down the importance of doing what councillors do. And in this time of crisis, when so many Victorians are facing financial, mental, social, and other struggles, it's not right to have another councillor essentially spending up to 60 hours per week at an organization that we're now seeing perhaps take so much of his time.
Yes,
that brings us once again back to the issue of the standards that we have to maintain when it comes to conflicts of interest and things of that sort. That's why we have these processes and these standards, is to prevent this unfortunate splitting of your duties. And eventually it comes to this: which master are you going to effectively dedicate your time to? You have to make that decision. You can't be in two places at once. And we just saw it playing out perfectly with regards to that yesterday.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here chewing over this information in my mind, because one of the common complaints that I receive about Councillor Ben Isett, and I just had an example of it on the show yesterday, a mother who had concerns about his role as the neighborhood liaison in the area in which she resides, as well as his role as a director in Red Cedar Cafe Society that's undertaking this operation. And he is so involved that he volunteered and felt it was appropriate for him to be there on site overseeing the delivery of this new tent. She said that she never got a response from him. Now, maybe the reason that so many people tell me that they write to him and don't receive a timely response, or in some cases a response at all, is because he has been spending so much of his time attending to duties other than his role as a member of Victoria Council.
Sure. And Councillor Isaac actually has been one of the most responsive councillors, historically speaking. He gets back to most people, and that's one of his advantages. And I would use that as an example of perhaps why this councillor ends up getting so many votes, is because people do hear back from him. And whether or not you see eye to eye, that response, that personal touch, that resonates. And I would encourage more councillors to take the opportunity to even write a few words back to the individuals who write them, because it does matter. It is important. And we walk away, if we don't get an answer, we do walk away feeling somewhat slighted. And that little bit of outreach, obviously, as we can see with this councillor's results during elections, that bit of outreach makes a difference.
Yeah, and maybe that explains why our newsroom never got a response last week, as we were undertaking due diligence seeking to get his comment and additional information with respect to this matter. Our producers reached out yesterday. I said, you know, get information somehow. Yep. Try the Red Cedar addresses then. So that's what our producer did yesterday. I'm sure they can find those emails. I, meanwhile, have been trying to get his attention on social media. Thankfully, as far as I know, the response that worked, the method that actually got his attention and to which he responded today, was social media. So I feel pleased that I was lucky enough to pick the method that finally got his attention and got him to respond, but I would have appreciated a response to either our emails or other inquiries in a more timely manner, and that way we could have hopefully avoided some of this. But I still have questions that remain unanswered, and I think members of the public do as well, Mike.
Yeah, certainly. And we have another councillor that hasn't been very good at getting back to the media or even his constituents. That's Councillor Dubo. Mm. When did he leave the country? What were the terms of his trip? Did he let the mayor know? I mean, we have a situation now where Councillor Isaac was absent from the meeting, and it's
hard marked
to say
absent,
whether the
yeah.
mayor was aware. Was she aware that he was at a tent, or was he simply just not available?
Well, the mayor spoke those words and said that he was either on hold or not available, I believe, is what the mayor spoke. So she clearly didn't know that he was attending to care tent duties.
There you go. So now we have a breakdown in communication. We have counselors who are so busy or perhaps engaging in personal pursuits where we literally don't know where the elected officials happen to be. Mm. What they happen to be engaging in. And I would say most constituents are not comfortable with this.
No, I don't think
it's
so.
It's not just a game. This is serious, especially given the fact that we're in a state of emergency. And sometimes should not be part of the equation, and yet they are.
Yeah.
And I certainly hope, I know we're at the end of the hour, Adam.
Yeah.
That went by pretty fast.
It did.
I do look forward to hearing more. It sounds like we're going to have much more coming out of this. And I do want councillors to be a little bit more respectful of our expectations of their commitments to the taxpayer. At this time, we need all hands on deck. We shouldn't have to be guessing where councillors are or playing games with feeds, video feeds. It's just that, in my opinion, is beyond the pale. You can set aside a few hours to ensure that you're present at these meetings, and we expect you to be there.
Or for heaven's sakes, tell the mayor, I have an important task. It's the community care tent. I'm using my cell phone. My battery might die. If it does, that's what's happening. But the mayor said that he was either on hold or not in the meeting, or the words that she spoke. So that betrays a lack of knowledge, which means that she hadn't been told.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to avoid controversy? Don't let one materialize.
All right. Coming up after the news, Mike, I'm going to let you go, but have a great week, okay?
My pleasure for being on the show, Adam. Thank you so much.
All right. Mike Kozakowski, citified.ca. Coming up after the news, Stephen Andrews is going to be joining us. I think he might be having something to say, too, that hasn't been reported yet. Stick around and find out.